You're listening to Love Talk Live with the relationship expert, Jamie Bronstein, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Love Talk Live. I'm your host, Jamie Bronstein, and today I have with me Mike Goldstein. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited you're here. Okay, first of all, I could start crying, but I'm not going to. This is a really big moment because I have not been in a studio since March of 2020, just for some like very small reason. So I'm just so grateful to be back, to be delivering content to you guys from this capacity, in-person guests. I like to be in person, so welcome. And you're the first one back.
Yes. Thank you for letting me be the first.
Okay, this is such a pleasure. And Mike Goldstein is a coach. I'm going to read to you guys all about him. And he actually, you were on my show about 2 years ago, but mm-hmm. not in person. It was just his picture on the screen because you used to live in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And now you live
in Hermosa Beach.
And now you're here. Okay. So we're so happy to be back. We're so happy to have Mike. Okay. So I'm going to read you guys a little bit about Mike, and then we'll get into his topic, which is how men test women. 5 sneaky ways that he's testing you and what to do about it. Okay. So Mike Goldstein is a one-on-one dating and relationship expert, founder of Easy Dating Coach. And he helps men and women make dating and relationships easy, like E-Z, the letters. He has been featured on the Today Show, the Star Ledger, Reader's Digest, and Shape Magazine. Mike gets 83% of his clients into relationships. Mazel tov. He accomplishes this by teaching on and offline dating. But his specialty is using data from multiple major online dating sites to ensure his clients typically only need to meet 6 to 8 people to find someone they like. Mike's clients usually get into a relationship within 3 to 4 months of working with him, and then in 5 to 6 months, they learn how to understand the opposite sex, set sexy boundaries, and fight fair when arguing with their partner. So Mike, how did you get into this work? Let everybody know, and then we'll get into your work.
Oh, man. Well, Jamie, I got into this because I fell in love with a beautiful woman.
Yes.
And then I thought we were getting married.
Yes.
And then she cheated on me with one of my close friends. So Jamie, I was crying my eyes out for 3 months straight, not knowing what to do with myself. I finally got out of bed. I picked up a copy of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. I learned that I didn't understand women at all, which led me on a journey to learn everything I could about dating, relationships, sex, online dating. And I didn't want anyone to experience the pain that I felt of just being basically heartbroken for 3 months. Mm-hmm. So I wanted people to understand the opposite sex and date better than I did.
I love that story because that is where we get our greatest teachings from. When we go through something and then I just love how you got inspired by your life experience. And so did you feel more empowered after that? What was it like going on that journey of the learning journey that you went on?
Honestly, it just felt like a whole new world, like a whole new lens on life. Like I'm like, I used to look at women. I'd be like, they are an anomaly. I don't know how they work.
We're a little different.
Now I look at them and I'm like, I get it. I see why you're doing this. I can relate to you. I can sympathize. I can empathize. We can be in the same room and not yell at each other and actually enjoy each other. This is phenomenal.
So along those lines, what's coming to me is what would you say is one of the greatest things you have learned about how to understand women?
I'll tell you, the reason we broke up is this woman had a lot of issues with life. And she would then vent them to me. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was a genius. At 20-something years old, I'm like, I know how to solve these problems. So then I kept giving her options. And then instead of her executing my wonderful solutions, she's like, you're a bad listener. I'm like, what do you mean I am listening? Mm-hmm. So ultimately what I learned is she's looking for me to be a support, to listen. And I didn't realize that's what my role was, be there for her. And she's a grown woman. She can solve her own problems. She just wants to know that I've got her back, that I'm on her team. And that's what I learned.
Well, that's so great. And I feel like that's a huge thing for guys to learn, because it is evolutionarily, it's a guy thing to want to fix. And men sometimes, until they learn this, they don't understand that a woman, we just want you to sit there and hold us and authentically listen. Because there are plenty of guys that sit there and they're like, okay, when is this going to be over? But a woman knows, like, we can intuitively feel when we're really being held and really being listened to.
Absolutely. And when a guy genuinely cares about his woman, that's the type of embrace he will give.
Yes, because then he authentically will want to.
Yeah, because he cares, because he likes her.
And he's not sitting there thinking, what can I get out of this after? Which, it happens, which is great. Which, of course, maybe part of him is thinking because he's a heterosexual man. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, we're going to be talking about how Mike helps people understand the opposite sex and sexy time in a little bit. But yeah, I think it's all about being present and being in the moment, and how can you really be there for your lady, right?
Absolutely. Well said.
And for anybody watching, Mike is available, so we'll talk about that later.
Oh boy.
I love doing this with my single guests. Okay. So Mike, let's talk about how men test women in 5 sneaky ways he is testing you and what to do about it. And we're going to go through this list and we're going to get into it and really unpack it.
Yes. Before we start, yeah. I just want to say one thing. I want to start off by saying that not all men do all of these. And just because a man is doing one of these things doesn't mean he's a bad guy or that you need to prove yourself to him or think of it as trying to pass the test. It's more of a subconscious thing that both men and women do to see how compatible a potential partner is.
I love that. And I want to add to that, because I love that you said it doesn't mean they're a bad guy, because a lot of the work that I do is, whether it's a guy or a girl, anybody, humans, that we should not judge.
Mm-hmm.
And that everybody's doing the best that they can with the tools that they have in that moment. So I love that that's your message also of, you know, it's kind of like to a little boy or little girl, you don't say you're a bad boy or you're a bad girl. Your behavior might be bad, but
yes,
you're not bad.
Absolutely. And I want women to feel comfortable that they can opt out of the test. If you don't want to be a part of the test, you can remove yourself from the dating this man.
Yeah, because we have choice.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's get into number one.
Yes. All right, number one is how much you are willing to do your interest level. Let me give you one of my favorite examples. So imagine you've got your first date and you live an hour from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy says, I want you to come to this bar 15 minutes from my house or around the corner. It's my favorite bar. You're going to love it. And so as the woman, you're being told, like, you need to drive 45 minutes and he's going to drive 15. And so he's testing you to see how much you value your time. And really, like, are you desperate where you're going to drive 45 minutes where he's only going to drive 15? And then the second test comes is he's kind of actually hoping you will stand your ground and say, you know, it would be amazing if we could meet in the middle. Like, I've got a busy day. It would make my life so much better if I only needed to drive 30 minutes. So he's testing you to see if you voice it well, not saying like, hey, jerk, like, why am I driving 45 minutes and you're driving 15? Don't be an ass. Like, he's seeing if you can put your boundaries out there in a sexy way.
Do you think that men do this consciously or subconsciously, or some guys do it on purpose and some guys don't?
It's a combo. The ones that are doing it on purpose, it is strategic for two things. One, if they don't think they're going to be that interested in you, they make it close to them,
mm-hmm,
to kind of hedge their bet. Or the second thing, they'll make it close to them thinking, well, if it goes well, maybe we can have sex after, because it's a short drive to our house.
Like, it could be a compliment. Then it makes girls all confused. Wait, is this a compliment that he wants me to be close to him? Or is he being a dick and making me drive so far?
It's not. If he's driving the 45 minutes, that means he's really interested and really willing to put
for
in
sure
the effort.
He knows for sure that he's going to like you.
Yeah. If it was my client on a first date, like, we don't know this person, they're a stranger, just meet in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, make it equitable for both parties and do it.
Okay. So we got this one down. Let me think if there's anything else we need to cover about this. Okay. But I like that you're saying this is kind of a human thing that some guys do that they really don't do on purpose. They might have an ulterior motive, but the motive actually could be good as well. Not necessarily, I don't like you, I don't want to drive. It could be, maybe we'll be closer to my abode.
I mean, that could be good. I mean, for some women, it may be insulting on the first date. I don't know. But women, if it's, you know, maybe he does it on date 8 and a woman's like, I am dying to have sex with this guy. Like, that, yes, it could be good.
But also, like, I write about this in the book that I'm writing about how, and maybe, I mean, I write about it as if it was a long time ago, but it was a long time ago. But I still feel like I still have this mentality where, I mean, I used to always think like, oh, we can go back to his place and we can bond and we can like have I used to call it an innocent sleepover on the first date, which sometimes it was innocent and sometimes it wasn't. You know, sometimes it was just cuddling. Sometimes it was more depending on the situation. But also, like, maybe it's just good to have the home nearby just for the cuddle bonding on that first time, even if nothing crazy happens.
Sure.
This is good. We would have to do, like, 5 hours because I know we have to get to the other things. But now this is getting to, like, a guy-girl conversation, which I think would be
Let's
great.
Have it.
I don't think our audience is here for 5 hours. But okay. How about this? We're going to put a pin in that.
Okay.
Let's circle back if we have time.
Okay.
And any of your audience members that are curious about the continuation of this, maybe we'll do an IG live if we don't have time.
Fair.
Okay. Number two.
Number two. He's testing you if he can show you the real him, and he typically delivers that through humor or vulnerability. The example I selected for this, I'll use myself, is a number of years ago. I've been doing this for 10 years, but when I first started dating, I was terrified to tell people I was a dating coach. And this was back when I was living in New York City. Because, like, everyone who thinks you're a dating coach is like, you have no money, you are broke, and you are a loser.
And, like, for a guy, yeah.
Yeah.
For a man, interesting, okay.
Like, on Bumble, if you see entrepreneur, you're like, that guy's broke, I'm not dating him.
Yeah.
So I was very nervous to tell people them that. But anyway, the test is the woman that goes, that's the coolest job ever, tell me about it. Like, that's someone I can date versus someone who's like, loser, he's broke. In reality, I'm not broke, but anyway, you want to find the person that when you are vulnerable, it's something that excites them.
That they're intrigued by. And it's like they like you even more.
Yes.
When you can share your vulnerability and it's authentic and the other person has a beautiful reaction, then that's a very good sign.
Can I give you my favorite quote?
Yes.
I don't know who said this.
Yeah.
But it's, you can't say the wrong thing to the right person.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's all I got.
Okay, we're done. Who cares about steps 3, 4, and 5? Yes. Because people worry so much about, I call it having an attachment to the outcome. They worry and they have fear, so they don't say something or they don't do something. But it works for actions and words. You can't do anything regarding this other person. You can't do anything wrong if it's the right person.
I love that you're unconcerned with the outcome.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many clients I have where they're so concerned with the outcome, where I am so excited by negative outcomes. They're like, they broke up with me. I'm like, great. That means you can go on to the next one. Like, that is the best news ever. If they're not ecstatic about you, cool, next.
When people tell me they're getting divorced, I say congratulations or mazel tov and I give them a hug, which is not the normal reaction. But everything is meant to be. And if something isn't working, whether you want it to work or you don't want it to work, even if it is the other person that is like, I'm good, we need to trust.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason. The universe will bring in this or something better for the highest good and then to be open to it.
Love it.
Cheers to that. Okay. So number three.
Number three is your tolerance for his independence. I came up with, this is kind of the most ridiculous example you could have for this, but that makes it fun. Mm-hmm. I had a friend starts dating this woman and already had some friends teed up to come for a weekend on Valentine's Day. So they met a few times, like a month before. So about like 2 days before Valentine's, or 2 weeks before Valentine's Day, he goes to the woman, "I've got my friends coming. I can't take you out on Valentine's Day. Just wanted to let you know so you weren't, you know, prepared that I can't take you out." And so he was testing her to see if she was going to freak out or what the response was going to be.
And?
She was fine with it.
Okay. This is good. So he's testing her to see how, no matter what his choices are, that it has nothing to do with her. Mm-hmm. To see, is she going to be offended, or is she going to go with the flow and be cool?
Yeah.
I like that.
And, you know, for the ladies listening, if you're like, "I love Valentine's Day," like, that's not cool. You know, it's perfectly acceptable to say something like, "Cool, have fun with your friends. It would be amazing if we could celebrate like a different day."
Or I can go with you and your friends and we can also celebrate another day.
Yeah, all those things work.
This is making me think of a random memory, and I don't know if it's related or not, but I'm just going to say the memory and we'll see if it's related. Okay?
Yeah, do it. Let's have it.
Well, I remember one Valentine's Day a long time ago in Chicago. I love surprises and I love going out for dinner. And so my now husband, who I think we were just dating then, I don't remember, he did some research. He asked one of my friends who has, like, literally she had a Google spreadsheet of restaurants. Mm-hmm. So I was like, so he reached out to my friend Kelsey. And we ended up going, it was called the Chicago Firehouse Restaurant. Do you know that place? Oh, no, you were in New York. Never mind. Yeah. Anyhow, it was called the Chicago Firehouse. But it was a very nice restaurant. But I just felt like it wasn't, we were in the, like, non-romantic room. Like, it was, like, more of the bar room. And then I would have preferred to be more in the romantic room. Yeah. So it was something that we joked about because, obviously, like, I was just happy to be with him celebrating Valentine's Day. But I just remember feeling like, I don't know. I wish, like, maybe he could have requested the romantic room or something like that. So totally not related to what we are talking about. But it is an example of Valentine's Day. And it's an example of that he was doing the best that he could.
Well, you know, from the male perspective, I love kind of how you responded. Like, some women could have freaked out and been like, "You're ruining Valentine's Day." But you were, like, relaxed and showed him, like, it's okay. Like, I know you tried. The outcome maybe not have been the perfect one, but you were going with the flow. And men love that. Because obviously, you know, when you folks are married for 60 years, like, life's not always going to be perfect. Things are going to happen. And knowing that you as a woman can hold him down and be there for him, he's going to love that.
Yeah. So this is an inspirational message to getting back to what we were saying before, that everyone is always doing the best that they can. And to have compassion and also to be grateful. Like, of course, I expressed I was so grateful for the dinner and the thought and everything. Also, I'm just going to give myself a little acknowledgement that even back then, whenever that was 10-ish years ago, that I was able to express how I felt so that maybe in the future, you know, not like you're horrible, you're bad, or you're wrong, but just to be able, because that's also so important, that we need to express how we feel.
Oh, I love you added that part, because that's important, because this, your now husband, he probably would have kept sending you to the same restaurants if you didn't speak up. So it's so important that you expressed what you needed.
Communicate. Yes. Communication. Sounds cliche, but key. So important.
Yeah, that's been a big issue. Like, for me, myself, I had trouble expressing myself. And you're never going to have a successful, great relationship unless you express your needs.
Yeah, and there's this aspect where people think that they think that the other one knows or should know what they're thinking or feeling. But they can't, because not necessarily all the time, because we're all human.
Yes.
So we need to communicate.
Love it.
Okay, where are we? What number are we in? Four?
Four. Okay. Well done. All right, number four is he may try to test your boundaries. The example I came up for this one, Jamie. Well, you do this on apparently. Never mind. Sorry, excuse me. The example I came up for on this one is the guy on the third date will say, "Come over for dinner." And he's like, "I make this amazing filet mignon. Wait till you get over here." And for those of you who are not sure of this, the third date dinner is him trying to have sex. He's going to cook you dinner, and then he expects to have sex. So this is, once again, testing how you communicate, if you come over, if you don't. And if you don't want to come over, it's like, whoa, I cannot wait to try that filet mignon. But it would feel so amazing if we kept meeting at maybe some public places while we keep getting to know each other till we're ready to have sex.
To have the steak.
Yeah.
At home. Okay. Yes. Okay. So, oh God, this is going to be another like 5 hours. There's so many things to say about that. I feel like it depends on the girl and it depends mm-hmm. on the guy, because there are some wonderful, authentic, genuine men who are human who just want to have sex, but it doesn't mean that they're a player.
Yes.
And then there are so many girls that are authentic that can take that as, wow, we're really connecting and I'm ready also. But then there are so many girls that might have some insecurities or unresolved issues from the past. Mix that, couple that with a guy who just wants to have sex, and so that could be a disaster or just something that's not going to last. So, I mean, I feel like it's just not like an objective blanket statement of everything's so different, every couple's so different.
Yeah, there's so much gray, right? Like, to your point, like, you could go over there, have sex, and then you guys get married and spend 60 years together. Or you may have sex, and then he never calls you again, and you're right. crying your eyes out. I've found that if you, at least if we're trying to figure out if he likes you, and that's I'm a numbers guy, if you make him wait till at least date six, there's a high probability he's into you. Because a guy that just wants to have sex, he's not going to do six dates.
Mm-hmm.
He'll find a woman that is ready to have sex in date one, two, three, four, five. Six is a lot of effort. And he's got to have some connection, and ideally a really strong connection to want to take you on six dates.
Okay.
Still gray. Go ahead.
Yeah, so much. This is making me think of, it's actually Juliana DePandy, E! News, married to the first winner of the, anyhow, she wrote a book.
Okay.
She's happily married to this guy, Bill. And it talked about how men are like hunters. And they will go back day after day to get the beautiful deer, that like one deer that they want to get.
Mm-hmm.
And she related it to dating, that a man will hold out. Here's my question. That same guy we're talking about, George, let's call him George.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like any fooling around before the sixth date? Or you're saying not even anything? He would rather have nothing until sixth date to really seal the deal or want her more? Because girls need to know this. They're watching.
Well, listen, I'm sure George wants to have sex, whether George wants a relationship or not.
Right. Okay. Oh. Not George wanting to have sex. This is George being intrigued and like looking at this woman as very special. Can she fool around with him before sex? Or are you saying like ideally, if you want George to like, if you want to hook George forever?
Oh, they definitely can fool around.
Okay.
At
the home or like in the car or outside the bar?
All those.
Okay.
Whatever doesn't matter. Feels comfortable. The science tells us, which I hate to bring this up because this is so difficult to execute properly, but we've got advanced listeners, so is it okay?
Yes.
See, super advanced.
They're ready, yeah.
All right. So here's the deal. If a guy gets hard and doesn't have an orgasm,
mm-hmm.
he's going to feel really bonded to you. So for the ladies listening, think about when you have sex and oxytocin releases, you don't know it's happening, but you feel really bonded.
Mm-hmm.
The man is a little different. where if he feels kind of close to climax but doesn't, he feels really bonded, and then he wants to come back.
Come back. Okay.
Yeah. So that bonds him.
I've never heard that. I think this is like an aha moment that whoever is watching, this is very interesting intel for us women. But I think a lot of guys out there are going to be like, you're basically telling girls to give us blue balls.
See, that's why it's tough. Because you also could get a guy very angry. As a man, I've had these blue balls and they can be very painful. So you don't want that.
Right.
So, you know, if you want to
kiss... You want it, but you don't want it.
No.
You want it because it's like it gives you this information that she might be a potential relationship person or marriage material or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's nice to, you know, kiss, especially kissing, but, you know, any other base before home, it's nice to see if you have some chemistry to go along with, like, the compatibility, the similar values, all that stuff. Right?
Okay. So, we can go on and on once again about that. Number five.
Okay. Number five is how well you fit into their world, specifically like friends, family, passions, interests. So like for me, like I'm huge into sports, being athletic, like hiking, biking, yoga, running, soccer, pickleball, you name it, I do it.
That's great.
So I want to find someone who does, you know, is into that athletic type of lifestyle. And then, you know, I'm on the West Coast, my whole family's on the East, so my friends here are my family. So, hey, let's introduce you to my friends, and can you commingle? Is it smooth? So if we ever try to combine lives, can we do that successfully?
Okay, I like that. I like that. And that's done, sounds like it's done very covertly. Like a guy wouldn't be like, I want to see if you get along with my friends. It's more like, do you want to come with me to this event? Do you want to... And to see how she reacts.
Yeah, and see how it goes. And if it's still fun. Did the fun level come down? Or is the fun still right where it normally is?
What do you think about... It's so interesting because I've seen this time and time again where there's a perfectly nice, normal... whether it's the guy or the girl in the situation. And a friend or two don't like the person.
Okay.
That's a test for the relationship to see how, like, let's say Alex asks Jenny to meet all of his friends. For some reason, Alex's best friend is not a fan of Jenny, but even though Jenny's a great person. But maybe Alex is just jealous because he's still single and now he doesn't have his buddy to grow out with as much. Whatever it is. So that's a test for a guy, for the girl to see like how the guy is going to react to that, right? Or a family member of Alex's.
Oh, yeah.
A mom, maybe, if he's so close with his mom, and maybe for some interesting reason she's jealous of this girl. Who knows?
Yeah, so in our industry, I want all the listeners to be cognizant of this. We call that the Romeo and Juliet effect, where if someone dislikes you, it pushes you and your couple closer. So I want you to be cognizant, like, are we closer because something external is pushing us closer, or are we actually meant to be this close?
But sometimes people don't get closer because of that. Sometimes it causes problems.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother problem, yes.
Yeah, yeah, because then it's like, well, if you're not going to stick up for the person that you're in the relationship with, maybe that's not your person.
Yeah, absolutely. That if it's your partner, like, that's your person. You got to stand up for them.
Okay, so is that, this is first time back in the studio, is that clock correct? I don't have a watch on.
It is.
Okay, so we definitely have a few more minutes. I would love to know from you all your deepest, darkest secrets. Okay.
Okay, all of them.
Like to know from you, what is one or two of the greatest things that you've learned about dating / relationships that have inspired you in your life that you would like to share to inspire anybody who's watching?
Wow, that is a big question.
You know, go inside, take a moment.
The thing for me is like perseverance, and specifically like since I'm a numbers nerd, the online dating system I built 10 years ago that got me on the Today Show and then got me partnered with OkCupid, eHarmony, and Match.
Which, is this still going on so we can advertise for it?
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to need to talk about that. Well, go on.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Okay.
My program that gets 83% of people into relationships, I want to talk about it high level. It's called 50-12-1, where I want women to get in the mindset of not just waiting for guys to message them, but going on, for example, Match.com and messaging 50 guys, asking them on a date, expecting about 12 of them to say, yeah, I'd love to go on a date, and then picking one. And then I want women to repeat this 6 to 8 times, and they will find someone they like. So the concept here is basically treating love almost like a science experiment and a numbers game. And so if you do 50-12-1 6 to 8 times, you're going to find someone you like. And you can do this
and
in 60
likes
days.
And that you, because it has to, yes. I mean, it has to happen for it to work.
Yeah. So getting very particular on who you spend your time with via online dates that turn into real dates, and just not giving up. And if something goes sour, being like, well, look, let's look at the metrics. That was date one, or that was my second man of the 6 to 8 Mike told me I needed to meet. Oh, that was my fifth guy. I've got to meet one, you know, 1, 2, or 3 more. So just, it's a math problem that basically over the 10 years I've been doing this, gets solved time and time again by following these metrics.
Okay, so to answer my question, this is what you've learned. Like, you've done this yourself? That's my question. And you've learned that it works.
I've gotten 15 people married doing it.
No, I mean for your life.
Oh, for me.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. You thought I was asking, like, from your work what you've learned.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I want to know, and they want to know. Something like in your own life from dating. And by the way, that was so helpful because now we're going to talk about we're going to go back to the program. But from your own life, from dating, from relationships, something that you've learned that really changed, was like a life changer for you.
So, Jamie.
Yes, Mike.
I think last time we saw each other was 3 years ago.
Yes.
And I was engaged to a woman, and now I'm 2 years broken engagement plus, maybe three... I don't know. Anyway, what I learned was I was a people pleaser. I never told her my needs, and I couldn't say no. So I was destined to never have a successful, if we got married, marriage, because I was never standing up for myself, and anything she wanted to do, we just did. So then I lost who I was. And all we had was who she was and kind of who we were, but not who I was. So I needed to stand on my 2 feet, have my own life, have my independence, and then also voice to her my boundaries. This is what I'm doing, and have my own thing.
With no attachment to the outcome. So you were previously in that place where you were worried about speaking your voice, doing something, not doing something. Because maybe she wouldn't like you or she'd leave or something, whatever the fear was.
Yeah, I mean, this was... my love language is words of appreciation. So I thought, anytime I did something for her, if she said, hey, Mike, you're great, this is fun, or whatever, that would be enough. But then I didn't get to do anything that I wanted to do, so I just lived off the words of appreciation, and that's not healthy. And I was afraid to tell her, hey, I don't want to do that, to her go like, ugh, really? And so then I got my negative words of appreciation. So I needed to get over that. You can't just live off one love language and think that's a life.
That's very rich. And I'm sure it's helped you so much in your relationships and relating and communicating.
Yes, it has.
Okay, so I want to hear one, take me through kind of quickly a client that came in, a success story of a client that came in and how you took them through the work.
Yes. At the time, I believe she was a 44-year-old woman, a little bit overweight. A little bit beaten down. Her last relationship, I don't remember if it was physically or emotionally abusive, but not great. And she did some healing and she came to me and she said, I'm ready. I said, great. We did my 50-12-1 process and I don't remember how long it took. Let's call it 2 months. We found this guy, Nick. And she goes on a date, Jamie, and she goes, Mike, I'm not attracted to him. I said, okay, how's the conversation on a 0 to 10 scale? 10. It was a great conversation. I said, okay, are you going to go on a second date? I said, I guess. I said, okay. She comes back from the second date. I'm like, are you attracted to Nick yet? She said, no. I said, okay. Are you going to go on another date? She said, yes. Fast forward, Jamie. She makes it to date 8. On date 8, Nick finally kisses her. She rings me up. She goes, Mike, Nick is the sexiest man alive.
Aw, go Nick. Whoa. Chemistry. Go on.
Yes. Fast forward. Like, I think about maybe 2 years later, they get married. I'm at their wedding. And I've never met Nick. I'm in the receiving line. I get up there. Nick doesn't say a word to me. He grabs me, pulls me in, gives me the largest hug you've ever seen two men have. And he goes, Mike, thank you for finding my wife.
Oh, my God. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I love, what's the lady's name?
Isabella.
Your client. I love that she found you, whatever it was that led her to you. Wow. And this is, it speaks so much to, of course, I do believe that no matter what, we all end up with our people, our person, no matter what. But her journey, she needed to find you because you really helped her. Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was wonderful. She helped me too. It was nice. I'm words of appreciation. I got a lot of that at the wedding.
I'm sure. Oh, that's so sweet. And I love that you went to the wedding. I mean, I love that you guys got so close that she invited you and
it was really cool. I was very happy to be there.
I mean, I love it. Okay, so two things. Along these lines, you have a free gift. So if you want to talk about your free gift, that'd be great.
Yes. This was a project. This free gift was like a labor of love. I interviewed 2,000 men to figure out the 4 feelings they need to feel to fall in love and ultimately want to commit forever.
Mm-hmm.
So it was super exciting, and I really pulled it out of them. I didn't accept, you know, the I want a sandwich and a blowjob. No, I'm talking about what are the real feelings you need to stay with a woman forever. So I built a 9-minute video where I tell you the findings and then express how you can execute it. People love this video. It's got over 200,000 views, 6,000 likes. Like, women are going crazy for this. So I want to give that as a gift because I think this is the single most important thing you can start executing on right now. That's not going to get you the guy, but once you have a guy, even on date 1 all the way to married, like, he's just going to be so happy around you. And he's going to be smiling ear to ear, and he's going to treat you like a queen because you're treating him like a king.
Mm. Love it, love it, love it. And so this link I will be posting. I'm going to post it everywhere. I'll post it on my Instagram link tree, and I'm going to post it on Facebook, Twitter, everything. And then is this link on your website, and what is your website also?
It'll be on that link. I think it's hidden on my website, but my website, if you want to check it out, is easydatingcoach.com, spelled not that easy with the letter E and the letter Z. So easydatingcoach.com.
And the 50-12, that whole thing, is that on your website?
I have a webinar. If you go on easydatingcoach.com and you sign up for the webinar, it's a little longer. It's 51 minutes. I spent about $20,000 creating this webinar, and so it's pretty legit. This is the system that gets people in relation, gets them married. So check that out if you want.
And of course, if anybody wants to work with you, you're doing online stuff if they're not in California or not.
They can set up a 15-minute call. and we can chat.
Or bring your interpreter to the session because he's that good. You don't even need to know English. Just bring your interpreter. Either way.
I love it, Jamie.
And as always, anybody can find me at therelationshipexpert.com. And I will be, this will be a YouTube also, so I'll be putting your link, all your links on YouTube. And thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Namaste. This was such a, just a perfect show back in the studio. I feel like I feel so alive and just, this is my work. I love doing this. I know you do too. And it's just so good to just be here.
I left the house. I left the house. This is great.
He's wearing his slippers still. I'm just kidding. I'm surprised I'm not wearing mine. Okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. And join us every Monday at 5 p.m. PT on LA Talk Radio, Love Talk Live. Thank you. And thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Love Talk Live with the relationship expert, Jamie Bronstein, only on LA Talk Radio.